heroes.
Hello, everybody.
We're coming to you live from
New York.
New York City.
No. Or California.
Whichever you decide. We're coming to you live in your apartment, house, condo, garage. I don't know. Wherever you listen to podcasts. We are the Hammered Heroes Podcast. I'm Sophie Santos.
I'm Brendan Fitzgibbons.
You can follow me at Sophie E. Santos on Instagram.
You can follow me at the _ Brendan Fitzgibbons.
And you started having the Patrick Mahomes gravel.
Do it, Travis.
Kelsey, let's go. 228.
180.
You can follow us on Hammered Heroes Pod on TikTok. On TikTok, Hammered Heroes Pod. On Instagram, at Hammered Heroes Pod. Like and subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. And that's about it. That's all I got.
Today, we are talking about one of the most legendary dicks of all time. We are talking about the man who gave the true meaning to the word dick, and that is Coach Mike Ditka, Da Coach.
Da Coach of Da Bears.
Ah, shut up. Here, have a quarter, make a phone call. Get your mouth shut. Get your mouth shut, jerk. See that? That's your IQ, buddy. Zero.
Now, Brendan, this one is a big one for you. Like, I feel like Joe Namath was a big one for me.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer, just because of, I just simply detest.
Just hatred.
But this one is a big one for you. You've been bugging me to do it. Every day I get a text, when are we doing Ditka? When are we doing Ditka?
It is basically the perfect combination of a hammered hero and a hammered villain colliding at once. What happens
torpedo.
When good and evil comes together into one man, one mustache, one cigar, or 1,000 cigars?
Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator?
One piece of gum that he can't stop chewing while he talks. I'm pretty sure Mike Ditka chews gum while he sleeps. Let's just put it this way. We're really excited about this. This is going to be an epic episode. And anybody who grew up a Bears fan, this is for you.
I did not grow up a Bears fan. I did grow up a Bulls fan.
Yeah.
So I do like the city of Chicago. My mother now lives in Glenview, Illinois, and is moving into the city of Chicago. So I do feel some sort of kinship here, but I do know we do have a Chicago native, Brendan Fitzgibbons, who has been leading the troops in the Mike Ditka.
Yeah, also, this is just like, you have to cover Mike Ditka. Like, this guy low-key is an icon, and he's also weirdly a fashion icon. People are still dressing up like him. It's insane.
In the sweater vest?
In the sweater vest for Halloween. If you go to any Bears games, they're always dressed as Da Coach, just with 9 cigars. But before we do that, we're going to get into our honorary hammered hero, which it's somebody who we celebrate every week who exhibits heroic behavior. It could be sports related. It doesn't matter. It could be anybody.
It might be me one year, you know, one day.
It's going to be you. And this actually is close to both near and dear our hearts.
It started as a typical Saturday night for the Stonehouse family outside of Detroit.
It was little father and son time. Mom was out at the movies with her girlfriends.
Keith and his 6-year-old son, Mason, hanging out, eating chicken sandwiches and fries for dinner.
This story comes from Michigan. A Michigan man had to pay a $1,000 bill on Grubhub after his 6-year-old son ordered a shit ton of food from several different restaurants last weekend.
I just put him down to bed. He was playing with my phone for 30 minutes before that, and I never suspected that he was going to do what he did.
What Mason did was order food.
What's your favorite food in the whole world, Mason?
Shrimp.
$1,000 worth of shrimp and other food from his dad's Grubhub account.
5 jumbo orders of shrimp and the endless sandwiches and ice cream and chili cheese fries and rice and grape leaves.
Leading to a string of unexpected deliveries, this is according to the AP, and maybe a starring role in a future online ad campaign, which I think is hilarious.
You wanted $539 worth of pizza, right? Yeah.
Dad wrote off the first couple of deliveries because his wife, Kristen, runs a bakery out of their home. But then
the doorbell continuously rang over and over again. It was just nonstop.
The execution of Mason's late night snack attack, flawless.
5-minute span, he had ordered food from every restaurant in town.
And actually, this reminds me of a great story. I have a friend who got very drunk in New York. His name is Tim. I won't say his last name. It's Tim. And he told me that one time he got so drunk, went home, ordered $87 worth of Mexican food from Grubhub, it rolled up at his apartment, and he tried to convince the delivery guy he didn't do it.
That's exactly what you would do. It's like, it's the most specific. It's also just a weird amount. It's like, yeah, of course you fucking did that.
It's not me. I mean, someone else hit my phone and yeah.
But I'll take it. But I'll take it.
I mean, if you want to leave it.
I mean, the amount of times, I don't know about you, Brendan, but the amount of times I have ordered food on Grubhub and fallen asleep.
Oh, that's tough.
And then woke up and just either had 15 missed calls.
Yes.
or the pizza's just sitting in the street. And it's like, fuck you. This was your decision to order food at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a thing.
We shouldn't have this much power is what this is coming to. And this is very similar to what you just said. One time I was in Nashville with my cousin and she got very drunk. We're in Nashville. She's like, I'm going to order this pizza. I was like, okay, great. I get a call. She passes out. Several calls. This guy goes, what's up? I'm here. I'm like, I don't see you. He goes, yeah, I'm here. I look down. She ordered the pizza to her office in New York. So at her business office in New York with all this pizza. And I ended up having like a really friendly conversation. I was like, listen, man, this is a huge mistake. He's like, well, what should I do? He's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave it here in the office. Just like you said. He's like, I'm going to take a picture of it. He took a picture of the pizza he left on the ground on the street in New York.
I mean,
and we were in Nashville.
I called it, man. I called it. I've definitely done that. I've definitely sent orders to the wrong place. I have actually ordered food at your place and fallen asleep.
Oh, yeah. I think I might have woke up, but thank you. Those were great days.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to be fun?
Oh, wow.
Wow, it comes out. Who wants some sweet greens?
We just had some tender greens, baby. So, but let's not get it twisted, man. It wasn't just a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
He spent six. Did you say he spent 6,000?
He spent 1,000. But the bright side of the story is that it looks like Grubhub gave him back a $1,000 gift card to Grubhub.
Okay,
which
but
is
that
really nice.
No, I don't know if that's nice because I'd be like, "Yo, my son did this."
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
can I have the money?
Can I have like my actual liquid cash?
That's a good point. But there is a chance.
I don't do Grubhub. I do Uber Eats.
There's a chance though that he might get his own commercial now, which you know makes me want to go home and maybe order $1,000 off of Amazon and see what happens.
Listen, man, you never know. You never fucking know. But shout out to that kid.
Yeah.
You're going to probably be super rich very soon. Residuals, baby. But today we're talking about, God, a legend.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So here it is. We are talking about Mike Ditka.
I think it's silly to keep the camera on the coach, especially this coach. I mean, that's silly. I mean, there's a lot of coaches who like to keep it on. You could put people to sleep with it, but you put it on me, and, you know, guys want to go out and buy guns, you know, hand grenades. That's crazy.
Why do you think you became the competitor that you are?
Well, I don't know. There's rumors that I stole some rattles at age 2 weeks.
He is legendary, Super Bowl winning, man who never stops chewing gum, accidental fashion icon, former head coach of the Chicago Bears and the New Orleans Saints, Mike Ditka. Okay. He is known as Iron Mike Ditka for several reasons. The first being that he grew up in a steel town outside of Pennsylvania. And he should also be known as Iron Mike because he smoked enough cigars to make cancer scared. And somehow he's just fine at 83. His lungs are made of iron. This
wow.
guy has had so many cigars. He also has a bunch of steakhouses. Also, there's all over Chicago and Florida.
So and just red meat, whiskey and cigars, baby.
And a mustache going. And swearing and anger.
And that's how you live. That's how you live until you're 106. Man, yeah, just goes to show you can do whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. He is our hammered hero for so many reasons. Most notably, one of my favorite reasons is his absolutely horrifying, god-awful rendition of Take Me Out to the Ball Game during a Cubs game on July 5th in 1998. Here it is.
Well, Mike Ditka's in the building, but we're going to have to take over unless he gets here very quickly.
The question that I have had is, was he drunk during this? A lot of people have said yes. It's Seems. Not confirmed.
Oh. All right, guys, so we're watching.
First of all, he's late, and Steve Stone has to cover Mike for him. This is what Steve Stone's doing right now. Everyone's waiting.
People are booing. God, they're about to.
Poor Steve Stone has to cover.
Here he comes. Hold on. Hold on. This is a dramatic pause. And.
So this. He comes rolling in like a hurricane.
Mike Ditka has made it. And boy, am I happy. As happy as all of you. Mr. Ditka, please.
His tongue was literally out. He was licking his lip.
He's probably, yeah. So is he drunk is the question.
A one and a two and a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Bobby's happy that I drank your jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run up for the whole team. If they don't win it, it's a one, two, three strikes, you're out.
Is he drunk is the question. No, I just think he's tone deaf.
Wow. It's like someone was holding him underwater as he was singing or
was
punching him in the stomach.
Holding his breath. And actually when he's done, he does this thing where he goes, old ball game! And he sticks out his tongue like he had just done the whole thing, yeah, in one breath. Like, he looks like he's about to pass out the whole time.
Yeah, so what he says is he was running late and running up the ramps in Wrigley Field, which there are ramps. Like, the building is so old, it's crazy.
I do believe that. Now, even if he was drinking, I do believe that it's so exhausting to just, like, run up and have, especially your heart's racing because you have to, like, yeah, be on or whatever.
And he's out of breath.
But his face was so red. I'm like, yeah.
I think he was drinking because this is also, that's his post-coaching days. So just to give an overall arching view of Mike Ditka, he kind of represents the grittiest parts of Chicago. And why he's so revered in Chicago is he was solely responsible, and we'll get into this, for two of the most iconic Bears teams.
Mm.
First winning as a player the Super Bowl in 1963, and then arguably the most iconic NFL team ever, the 1985 Chicago Bears, which we will get to. But first, let's back up. Let's talk about the man known as Michael DiCenzo. How do you say that? Dixo. Dixco.
I think it's Disco.
Dixco. So that was his Ukrainian name.
Michael Disco.
And they shortened it to Michael Ditka because they didn't want to just do, this is Mike Dick. So Ditka played. He was an incredible athlete. Again, very similar theme to all of our hammered heroes. He played three sports. He went to the University of Pittsburgh from 19.
He played every single sport like me, Sophie Santos.
Like Sophie Santos.
I play every single sport.
But not softball because it's too girly.
It's too
bowling. There are too many good athletes, so I didn't want to play bowling. So he played University of Pittsburgh. Again, hardcore steel town. He lived in government housing. He grew up so scrappy, working class. His dad worked in the steel mills. He was surrounded by steel mills. So he played in Pittsburgh 1958 to 1960. He was a baseball player, a basketball. He was also an intramural wrestling champion.
That makes sense.
But here's what's crazy, Sophie.
He looks like a wrestler.
He looks such like a wrestler. While he played at the University of Pittsburgh, he was a linebacker. He was a defensive end, and wait for it, a punter. Can you imagine?
That's not a combo that I think goes together. A linebacker, a defensive end, and a punter. I will say, back in my glory days.
Here we go. Again, about your career.
I mean, listen, we got to bring it up somehow. I didn't think it was going to be relevant, but now it's like, I got to keep the glory days going. I played defensive end and nose tackle. So.
Okay, but you were on the line.
Line.
It'd be like if Chris Jones, you're watching the Chiefs play, and they're like, check out the Chiefs' wonderful place kicker, Chris Jones.
Tommy Townsend, you're out. It's Chris Jones.
You're out, dude.
Yeah, no, that's actually really good. No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. Yeah, it's random to be good at all three of those things. But he played, where did he do all three of those?
So that was University of Pittsburgh. And then he was finished being as an All-American. And he was drafted by the Chicago Bears in 1961 when he was the Rookie of the Year. Mm. He is considered to have revolutionized the tight end position. Imagine Kelce, with a lot more anger and just a belly full of booze.
Now, Brendan, you say I have great tight end energy.
Yeah.
Okay? You always say that. Are you saying I should grow out a mustache and start yelling at people to shut up?
No, tight ends have like a swag, right? Where they smash someone in the face and they're like a little bit loopy, a little crazy. Look at George Kittle. Look, even Hawkinson. Yeah. Hawkinson looks like he fought in Braveheart, the movie, like a little bit. He's got that vibe where he might have a spear at one point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're a little bit loopy.
I think that you used to have that energy. Now I feel like you're slowly transitioning more into offensive coordinator energy.
Wow. Why did I go from being really cool and like not knowing what, don't really know what's going to happen to an offensive coordinator who wears like a fucking tucked in polo shirt?
No, because now you have a plan. Like before you're like swag. Now you're like, I'm a responsible person. I eat chicken all the time.
Okay, it just seems like I'm just not cool anymore, but that's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, so he was at the Bears for, I believe, 5 seasons. He was killing it. He was a Pro Bowl choice most of those seasons. He also was on one of the most legendary Bears team that won a championship with Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus.
Love Dick Butkus.
I mean, think about these names. Also, Gale Sayers was incredible. The 1963 iconic Bears team, they won the championship. He also was coached by George Halas. This relationship will come into play later on when he circles back. He ended up leaving the Bears because he basically was calling Halas cheap publicly, and he was. A really interesting theme that now is still playing out in the Bears today is how unbelievably fucking cheap the McCaskies were, and I had no idea how bad it was. Basically, Ditka's quote was like, he throws nickels around like manhole covers. I was like, wow. This was a different time that these are the analogies that we're using. Manhole covers.
What are manhole covers?
Basically saying like building piping for the streets, like how they were everywhere. He was saying like these just insanely cheap. When they hired Ditka to be the Bears coach, they gave him the bare minimum contract.
I love it. It's like, he's not doing that great. He's not giving us that money. Kind of like LA does for their streets. Am I right? Yeah. Like it's so soft, but like they're trying to be hard, right?
It was when it comes to the rants. Such of that era too.
How about that New York City transit, am I right?
He also, for a guy who swears all the time and screams, he also referred to everyone as gang. He's like, all right, listen, gang, we had a really bad game. he says gang a lot. It's really funny.
No, it's great.
So we're moving through his career. He basically left the Bears. He went to the Eagles where he started drinking a lot. This is the first public.
Well, it makes sense. You're in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and this is why, again, where all the violence and drinking from Philly fans probably originates. He had like the worst year of his life. He was drinking during the season. He talked about this in his biography.
Sure.
And then he was rescued by Tom Landry and the Cowboys, Sophie, where he actually finished his career playing for the Cowboys. Did it really good. Then he went on for an assistant coach on the Cowboys. And this, Sophie, made me laugh so hard. I had no idea.
Mm.
Let's watch this video. While he was coaching for the Cowboys, okay, he coached the receivers. This gives you an idea of who Mike Ditka really was. A Pittsburgh Steelers player did a cheap shot on a Cowboys receiver. He gets hit for a penalty. He basically body slams his player.
On first down, Roger will throw. And he has Drew Pearson. Knocked out of bounds by Ron Johnson, but a Dallas first down. And a flag is down.
It's going to be an unnecessary roughness as young Johnson threw Pearson clear beyond the bench line.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a spry assistant coach named Mike Ditka takes a football, throws it at the Steelers player, and you just see it.
Somebody just hit Johnson in the back of the head with a football.
Might be somebody on the Dallas bench that's going to be called for unnecessary roughness. Unsportsmanlike.
Somebody took off with the flag.
That's taunting, isn't it?
This ball come out of nowhere, and then Ditka tried to act like he didn't just do it. It is so incredible. I was laughing so hard. And then Ditka, acts like so guilty.
He just like hides behind like a couple different players.
Yeah, and like doesn't admit it, but it was so clearly him. Just threw a football at him, dude.
Oh my God, he's like hiding behind all of his players. He's just like holding on to his pad.
Acting like he didn't just throw an entire football
That's
at somebody.
Really,
it
really
was
funny.
So good. So many things that Mike Ditka did, and we'll cover this, you could never do now. But it's so fun to watch now, in hindsight.
Well, Urban Meyer did kick his own kicker, so, you know.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
That's not what got him out. That's not what got him fired.
So Ditka basically burned a bridge with George Halas, but then he was on the Cowboys. And it's funny how much back then a lot of relationships were built on writing letters. Mike Ditka, of all people, wrote a letter to George Halas basically asking to be the coach. I don't think he was asking to be the head coach. And George Halas right away hired him, which is crazy because the Bears, they had a bad relationship, but the Bears were in a state of total disarray. They were like not at all a disciplined team. All the players were like, we were falling apart.
I love the idea of this really tough Mike Ditka sitting near candlelight with just scroll and feather and ink and just writing out, you know, that he wishes to be coaching, that he wishes for a coaching position. And then he puts it, his signet ring and some
so good
wax, and then just sends it off by bird, right? That just feels absolutely insane. The bird also has a mustache.
He wraps the letter around a cigar. One of my favorite facts about Mike Ditka is that he actually really wanted to be a dentist.
I mean, listen, it's a great occupation. It's good health insurance.
I can't imagine a worse dentist. This is the exact quote. I really wanted to be a dentist. That's why I went to Pitt, to get into dentistry. Can you imagine? So here is Mike Ditka. Me and Sophie are going to act out. Here is Mike Ditka as a dentist. I will play Mike Ditka.
Okay, I will play the patient.
Hey, open your big stupid mouth.
Sir?
You heard me. Open it now, dummy.
Okay.
Your teeth are dirtier than a West Virginian coal miner.
Well, should I floss more?
Next question.
Should I brush more?
No, next question. I'm smoking a cigar. I'm out of here.
Gets ash all over the teeth. And it's your fault because you made me mad, and that's why I got ash on your teeth.
He would just break so many teeth. Somehow there's just a football there. Him as a dentist is the literal worst idea I could possibly think of. That is such a
It feels like Little Shop of Horrors, like where in Little Shop of Horrors there was the dentist character and his whole thing was he loved getting high on gas and then just like fucking up everyone's mouths. Like that's actually what seems like Ditka would do. And that's probably what his influence was. He doesn't want to be like a good friendly dentist. Hey, son. Hey, Sam, I know you're scared of the dentist, but don't worry. You're not going to be scared because you're going to see 270-pound Mike Ditka. Mike Ditka. Dentist Ditka.
I would like to introduce you to your open heart surgeon. It's Hulk Hogan. He's fine. He might rip his shirt during the surgery.
But don't worry.
But don't worry.
You're good.
It's crazy. All right, so let's talk a little bit about how good these 1985 Bears were.
The number two defense of all time, the 1985 Bears.
Mike, man, I'm going to kill him. Wilbur, I'm going to get there first. Dent was saying, no, I'm getting there first. And I'm looking at these guys, and I'm saying, wait, the guy is bleeding. You don't have to kill the guy. We don't care. We're going to get him. That's what we do.
Basically, Mike Ditka came to the Chicago Bears. He walked into the room the first day. This is told from the player's perspective, and he's like,
the first practice, he gets us all together. He said, boys, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The good news is you give me 3 years, we're going to the Super Bowl. The bad news is half of you ain't going to be here to see it.
I got great news, fellas. He's like, give me 3 years, we're going to do a Super Bowl. Bad news is half of you won't be here. So it was just such a different ethos.
He was trying to get our attention and say, guys, I played on a team that went and won a Super Bowl. And I was a coach on a team that went and won a Super Bowl. I know what we have to do.
But what I didn't know, which was so fascinating watching the 30 for 30 on the 1985 Chicago Bears, is that the Bears' defense was entirely led by Buddy Ryan. Mike Ditka had nothing to do with it. This is legendary defensive coach Buddy Ryan. Mm. He invented the most famous 46 defense. They did not like each other. There was horrible animosity on a level that's never existed before.
Mr. Hollis could have lived to be 150, would have never hired Buddy Ryan as a head coach.
That head coach stuff stinks, you know?
My dick is a jerk, what there's a mate.
I think it's insecurity, I think it's jealousy. To be honest with you, I don't care. This conversation has gone far beyond me. Matter of fact, it bored me.
Literally, Mike Ditka, there's a story that Mike Ditka went into the defensive room once, and Buddy Ryan threw an eraser at him. And Buddy Ryan, Mike Singletary said, I've never even heard Buddy Ryan refer to Mike Ditka by name.
Buddy, what did Mike say to you when you left?
Mike who?
He would call him like that man. So it was two monster crazy alpha dogs running this team. Buddy Ryan also had resentment because he thought he should have been the head coach, which I get because he was there before and all the players loved him.
Right.
And when everybody thinks about how good this Bears team was, everyone's like, it was Ditka. And the truth is, not really. It was really Buddy Ryan, but Ditka did really help the offense.
Right.
And the 85 Bears were just riddled with the biggest cast of insane characters. I mean, we got Mike Singletary, Jim McMahon, who would wear sunglasses, and they came out later that he was high all the time and on Percocets. He was our quarterback. He was a party Catholic who went to Brigham Young and then came to the Bears who drank at his draft. He had a beer at his draft.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm looking at right now. He has a... He has a white...
Yes.
Jim McMahon has a white headband that says Razel.
Yes.
He looks like the bad guy in...
Blade Runner? He looks like a bad guy from Blade Runner.
He looks like a bad guy from Blade Runner. The old 80s Dune.
80s bad guy. That's exactly how he looks.
The guy from Marty McFly.
Oh, Biff?
Yeah, he looks like Biff from Back to the Future, guys. Like, this is fucking insane. I would not want to go up against this guy.
We need to do an episode on Jim McMahon.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at this dude. Look at this photo.
It's so good.
There's a photo of Jim McMahon. He is completely burnt from probably being on the beach all day.
Yeah.
He looks like he just ate literally the blood of a child.
He didn't want to practice. He didn't want to go to films. He goes, I just live for Sundays. He started calling his own plays. And him and Ditka had massive feuds with each other. Ditka would make fun of him publicly to the press.
Oh, he's full of shit. Excuse my French.
And then McMahon would make fun of him to the press. Here's a clip of some of their exchanges. It's insane.
You know, here's a guy that I talk to him all the time. I ask him what's the matter. He won't talk to me, you know. If the whole thing in society is to pout every time you disagree with somebody, forget it.
Why does he say I'm pouting? Because I don't go kiss his ass. That means I'm pouting?
When it's all said and done, Jim McMahon won't write my epitaph. Then I would imagine that we'll just see who writes his.
I'm going to write my own epitaph. It's probably going to say, what are you looking at?
Oh, this is good, man.
It's so good.
So good.
And you know what's even really cool? They actually really made up. And when Ditka's time with the Bears was tanking, he's like, I'm going to bring back Jim McMahon. And they interviewed Jim McMahon, and he goes, yeah, I knew he was going to get fired when he said he was going to bring me back. That was the last straw.
That's great. Yeah, dude. I mean, that's fucking perfect. I love that they were just razzing each other to the news. It also felt like there were times when I look at the interview, and it kind of like looked like both of them were kind of laughing.
Yeah.
It's like they were into it. Honestly, sometimes I wish you would just say how you feel. Like,
I know.
Like, right now, the Phoenix Suns, love my Phoenix Suns, but there's clearly beef going on between Monty Williams and DeAndre Ayton, and they won't talk about it.
Right.
And Monty Williams is, and he's a great stand-up guy, and I know that you love him.
I love Monty Williams.
But he keeps just being like, no, you know, it's just Aiden is, you know, he's doing his thing, and, you know, he works hard. And I'm like, you guys fucking hate each other. Just fucking say it.
Yeah.
Be normal. Be human. Fucking say it. Say you fucking hate him. You literally, you benched him during the finals game. Like, that means something during the biggest game when we fucking lost to the Mavs.
But so, it was cool, yeah, because when you watch that clip, too, it comes out and the Chicago Sports Reporter was like, man, those were fun times. And I think about how much fun it would be, even if you didn't like these guys. So we should talk about just how belligerent Mike Ditka was during interviews. He would be so mad. There is this incredible clip of this sportscaster named Johnny that would always go on. Ditka would go on to recap the games. They're fighting for like 2 minutes off camera, swearing at each other because Ditka doesn't want to be there.
Why are you in such a fucking bad mood?
I'm not. I wasn't going to do it last week. I wasn't going to do it for NBC either because it's the same thing I do at night, John.
I'm not out to answer a bunch of questions about bullshit that I'm going to answer tonight. I'm going to answer the same thing and look at the same film tonight. Now say I'm not.
And then as soon as it goes live, he's like,
okay, thank you, Howard, and a happy Mike Ditka, we think, because the Bears won it, although that he was dissatisfied with some of the things.
Well, Mike Ditka's really happy to be here, and they just like go into this fake spiel. It's so funny. But Ditka screamed at everyone. There's a great clip of him. Here's Ditka screaming about the Bears fans for not being aggressive enough on their side.
The win was much appreciated by us, and evidently it must even woke up some fans in the stadium. They got off their hands.
That second half, you got them off their
hands. They got off their hands, didn't they? And that's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you.
I thought we were in a mortuary for a while.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I fucking love that. I appreciate it.
Oh, are you going to wrap the fans now?
I'm going to wrap the ones that sit on their hands. Yes, I am.
Why?
You want to ask me why? Because they're lousy fans for sitting on their hands.
Well, sometimes when you don't score points,
no
they don't
kidding.
Get it. I'm just giving you their side of it.
Well, then they aren't fans if it's based on scoring a point, John. That's not the idea. The idea is to be fans before you score, and then you might score.
I mean, Nick Saban does the same shit because everyone assumes that Alabama's always going to win. And so, but especially when we play the smaller teams,
right,
like Florida International or University of Southern Mississippi, you know, something like that, and all the fans will like leave midway through the game. Or if we have like insurmountable lead, they'll also leave. And he said during press conferences, like, fuck you guys.
Yeah,
like,
I love that clip.
Like, you know, like you're so privileged, you need to stay here and stay to the whole game. So I'm here for it, man. I think that's good.
I love, one of my favorite ones is a fan. Also, like, how much more just rowdy and like lively were these sports shows?
Fired almost as many verbal attacks as his team has wins. He's publicly ripped his quarterback, a newspaper reporter, and now a fan who had some choice words for Iron Mike during a radio talk show.
A fan called in and told that Mike Ditka was crying basically on the sidelines, and here is the coach's response.
Why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air, but I tell you what, I'm 53 years old, and I my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass.
Oh, I love it, man.
You got that, big boy? It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son. Let's get your face out in public, and let's live where people have to see you every day, and we'll see who the gutless wonder is.
I love it. We don't have shit like that anymore.
We don't
anymore.
Have anything like, even remotely like this.
I just gotta say, there is something about it. Maybe it's because I'm Southern, or maybe it's because I like it when things are chippy, but I do like I do love it, like in the past, where if someone fucked with you, you went on record during your press conference as an athlete or as a coach, and you said, no, I'm not putting up with this bullshit. Like,
right.
I'm not putting up with this bullshit. If you want to fight me, because all of it is just, it's smoke and mirrors. And so if you want to fight me, here's my address and come and fight me. I love it. It was a different time, and I'm fucking here for it. Would you do it? Would you? You think you'd get chippy and you'd just say, listen, man, fine, come up here.
I don't think so, but I would wear this Daniel Jones jersey and blame it on him.
Great.
I think that, no, this whole era is so fascinating. There's this amazing clip, too, and where Jim McMahon is being interviewed, and they're like, so what are you hearing about the Bears' new quarterback, who happens to be Jim Harbaugh, is the Bears quarterback at the time. And McMahon goes,
well, I wasn't around him long enough. He was there, I think, only 1 year, maybe two, and never played. But just from what I've heard from his own teammates and from people around the league, there's not a whole lot of respect for the guy. A lot of teams would much rather see him in there than anybody else.
I don't know. I mean, nobody in the league really likes him and thinks he's not the future. He doesn't got a shot. It felt more like how professional wrestling was, you know, like where people would openly talk shit, but it was just something so honest and cool about it.
So I love his press conferences.
Yeah.
This is, if I haven't said it enough, I do like it when people are honest in press conferences. I think it's fucking great. And so this is great. This happened. So basically Ditka was asked by a reporter why he put a certain player in, and Ditka was asked by the reporter, and the reporter said, so what was the reason for Terry going in? And Ditka's response was, because I sent him in Joe. And then the reporter goes, yeah, no, I know. But like, what, besides that, what was the reasoning? And he's like, Joe.
Because I sent him in, Joe.
Yes, I know, but there must have been a reason.
The reason was, Joe, that he was a great decoy, and it was a perfectly designed play by a great, great football coach. Don't you ever forget that.
Joe, the reason is he was a great decoy, and it was a perfectly designed play by a great, great football coach. Don't you ever forget it. Next question. I love it. You're just like, it's because I said so. It's because I'm the fucking greatest, and shut the fuck up as he's chewing his gum.
I mean, and he took this attitude everywhere. He did SNL. There's outtakes of him on SNL where he literally does one take and gets immediately so mad at the director. Here's what he says.
Let's get it done, sweetheart. That's your fault. No one else's fault but yours. You're the only son of a bitch behind the camera.
Wait, so what is he mad about?
I think you gotta do it again. And Ditka gets mad because there's more than one take.
I don't, listen, fellas, I don't piss around like this. I don't do it when I get paid to do it. You know, I mean, one's enough.
Guys, I'm not in your business. I don't know how this works, but I only do it in one. I get out of here. I only do it in one. I leave.
The ego. Well, guys, we hate to leave you, but we have so much on Ditka that we're going to do two parts.
We're going to do two parts. We're going to get into more on the 85 Bears, his actual drinking, including getting a DUI in 1985, where people called the state trooper to complain that they pulled him over.
And a bunch of his drinking fiascos as a coach.
Being drunk on camera and interviews. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's so much more. So please stick around. This was part one of Mike Ditka, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please like, subscribe, share with your friends, share with your drunk uncle, I don't know, and give us a 5-star rating. You can follow us at Hammered Heroes Pod on TikTok and Instagram, or you can follow us individually. Me, Sophie Santos, at Sophie E. Santos on Instagram, or at The Real Sophie Santos on TikTok. Or you can follow Brendan at the _Brendan Fitzgibbons on both Instagram and TikTok. Bye-bye now.